over dinner last night, a lasagna and mushroom salad, my pals John, Winnie, 10-month-old Jimmy Joe, and my husband Bill, we watched the Dallas Cowboys beat up the New York Giants. And I kind of kept my mouth shut as they, John and Bill, discussed something about Terrell Owens being really a big part of it. And there was some talk of some guy named Johann Sebastian Santana Bach or something.
Yes, yes, the lead singer of Warrant.
Johann Santana, I guess. There was also a boxing match over the weekend as well. And Bill Wolf, my husband, and the former disembodied voice of ESPN's Around the Horn to the rest of the world, joined us. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's talk with college football, because I know this upset, you were just abuzz about Ohio State being knocked off by Illinois 28-21.
They did get beat, and they got beat at home, and it was the first time they'd lost all year. So now, which is a surprise, you know, Ohio State. Your brother-in-law is quite a huge
He's a Buckeye.
Ohio State fan. The Buckeyes, man. They lost to Illinois at home. The Buckeyes did. It was the first time they'd lost all year. They were one of two remaining unbeaten teams, and now there are a series of teams with just one loss. And the big question will be which two of those teams will get to contest the national championship. So it throws Ohio State losing at home to Illinois, which is a surprise, throws the whole thing into question. Now who's the best team in the country? So it all becomes an argument, which I think is one of the greatest things in the world, the argument. But many argue that there shouldn't be an argument, that they should institute a playoff system.
Dan Pashman's about to throw himself on the door.
This is a Dan Pashman argument.
He's obsessed with this argument.
First of all, he's in mourning.
I got no problem with that. The question is, should there be a playoff to determine the champion of college football, or should they leave it to the polls, the subjective judgment of writers and coaches and also of computers? And a lot of people like Dan Pashman think there must be a playoff, that we might have some closure, some certainty about who the best team is. On the other hand, A, the argument is excellent because you can just argue about it, and arguing is what sports are all about. And B, because there is no playoff, every single loss, for instance, Ohio State's loss to Illinois, is incredibly dramatic and important. Compare it, if you will, Allison, to the pros, where New England beat Indianapolis last week. Remember, that was a very big game.
Big game.
And then Indianapolis lost again last night to San Diego. So now Indianapolis has two consecutive losses. In college football, they would be finished, and both of those losses would be unbelievably dramatic and important. In pro football, where there are playoffs, it doesn't really matter. Indianapolis is going to be in those playoffs because they're very excellent, and their record is still very excellent. And so they will have another chance. It'll be their third or fourth chance to redeem themselves. In college football, you don't get a second chance to redeem yourself. And that's what makes each game and each weekend, each Saturday afternoon, so incredibly dramatic. So I argue against the playoff.
All right, let me dive in here.
Yeah.
So last weekend, it was the Indianapolis game and the Pats that we talked about as being the big game.
Yeah.
This weekend, it was Dallas and Giants.
Yes.
Giants, who won that one again? I forgot.
Dallas.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem.
Well, you can tell I was paying a lot of attention last night.
You paid attention, weren't you, to the kid, the baby boy.
He's very cute.
He's a very cute
kid. So why did Dallas win?
Dallas won. Well, Dallas really won because they're better. But what was interesting was that the difference in the game, some will say it was the quarterback for Dallas, who's called Tony Romo, who was kind of a nobody guy, who has become a big star, and he does things like date Carrie Underwood and this one and that one. He's kind of a celebu guy. But the star of the game, to my view, was this wide receiver, Terrell Owens.
T.O.
T.O., man, who has...
I get so excited.
Let's just say
you knew one.
Controversy follows Terrell Owens around. He's got a big mouth. He says what he wants to say. He's audacious. He's egomaniacal. But he's so totally excellent that despite the fact that he... sells himself and he draws attention to himself and everybody says he's a bad guy and he's no good for your team because his big ego will wreck the chemistry, blah, 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 blah. When push came to shove last night in New Jersey as the Giants hosted the Cowboys, it was Terrell Owens who was the difference. They simply couldn't guard him. They couldn't defend him. They couldn't prevent him from making the big plays that won Dallas the game. So, you know, it begs the macro question, which is if a guy has a kind of what they call a bad attitude, or if he's an egomaniac, or if controversy follows him around or whatever, do you want him on your team?
This has been, you know, Bill, the year of rehabilitation for receivers. You got this guy Randy Moss at New England, who was drummed out of a couple teams for having a terrible attitude.
Correct.
And Terrell Owens, who's always seen as a cancer in the clubhouse, and they're both having phenomenal seasons.
You are correct, sir. And so
there are second chances.
Well, this year would make the case that having a guy with a supposed bad attitude is worth it if the guy can be a tremendous difference maker when they play the games. And in New Jersey last night, Terrell Owens was spectacular. He's why they beat the Cowboys. I mean, I'm sorry, beat the Giants last night. And so I thought that was very compelling. I thought it was compelling that this guy, who's supposed to be such a bad guy, he was the reason the Cowboys were able to win.
So Saturday night,
You're
at the Garden,
Madison Square Garden.
I'm somewhere upstate watching Vassar students emote in my niece's play.
They were very similar experiences.
This was a fight between Miguel Cotto and Shane Mosley.
Correct.
Sugar Shane.
You got it.
All 12 rounds?
All 12 rounds.
Max Kellerman, who's a friend of yours, was calling it for HBO. He said that they just pulverized each other.
Yeah, they did. It was really quite a scene. It was not necessarily really a championship fight. It was sort of a qualifier. That is, the winner of the fight was to have an opportunity to fight the champ or make the next big fight. So it was a very important fight. It wasn't the fight of the century or anything, but these were two excellent fighters. Cotto, who's a Puerto Rican, who's young and powerful and up and coming. And Shane Mosley, who's from Southern California, he's 36. He's been around the block a lot, and he's lost a few, but he's excellent. He's an excellent, excellent fighter. So this was, will Shane Mosley have enough as a veteran to put down the up-and-comer, and will the up-and-comer, Cotto, have enough to beat the old stud vet? And they went 12 rounds. The scene was insane because, as you know, there's a huge Puerto Rican population in New York City. And so Madison Square Garden was about 99% filled with crazy, crazy fans of Miguel Cotto, all of them waving Puerto Rican flags. And it was sort of a nationalist experience, which was incredible, just incredible to attend. And then they went at it for 12 rounds. And what I think you were talking about, Allison, was to me, I was sitting in the 15th row on the floor. And it was a fun fight to watch. I mean, it's a great – there's nothing quite like being at a fight. But it didn't look to me from the 15th row as if either one of these guys was really pummeling the other, that they were fighting. It was a good fight, but you didn't really sense the terrible physical damage that was going on. Well, Max was sitting 15 rows in front of me, ringside, and it was his view that these two guys were absolutely destroying each other. And it pointed out to me that boxing is extremely simply understood. You're just looking at one guy pound the other, right?
Pretty much.
But that it may be best interpreted.
You got 30 seconds.
Over television. That it may be easier to tell what's going on over television than it is in the arena. Because I couldn't tell they were killing each other, but Max said, oh my God, they were pummeling each other. And in the end, in a very close fight, the young guy, Miguel Cotto, won. Much to the pleasure of the large.
The Garden.
Plus, you get to hear Larry Merchant ask the most random questions ever of the fighter after the fight.
Although on this one, it was Mac Kellerman asking.
Oh, he was the Larry Merchant?
Yes, he was Larry
Merchant. Okay, well, that's even better.
And you have to go to our website to find who Johann Sebastian Santana Bach is. Because I had to ask it last night.
Wasn't he?
You have to go to npr.org/Bryant Park. So I'll call you later and ask you to explain that one to me, and I'll put it on the website.
I can't wait.
Have a great day.
Okay, babe, thanks.
Bye, William.